No, you guys. I appreciate that. Okay. Yeah.
Hold on. We'll introduce you formally.
Should we introduce the show first?
Okay. This is Sell or Die. All right. Next. We have the greatest podcast in the world. I'm here with Jennifer Gluckow, hot, beautiful, smart Jennifer Gluckow. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I wrote the Little Red Book of Selling. We're joined today by Jason Bay. Jen, introduce Jason.
All right. Jason Bay is the co-founder and chief revenue officer. I love that title, at Blissful Prospecting. And Blissful Prospecting is really cool because they help sales teams remove the stress from prospecting.
Cool.
Like you were saying at the beginning, people don't want to prospect. No. Like, you know you have to prospect, but you don't really want to. And why don't you want to? Because it's annoying and stressful. And Jason takes all that piece away. It's like he makes it fun again.
Agree.
You make prospecting fun again. That should be your tagline. Anyway, Jason, you have sales experiences dating back to, I think, what, 2008 when you were 19 years old?
He makes it fun going in so you can take the profit going out. That might be a tagline. I'm sorry. Go ahead. He started when he was 3 years old making phone calls to strangers.
Yeah. I think you were 19.
Oh, wow.
I was doing the exact opposite when I was three. I was the most shy kid ever. Like when my parents dropped me off for soccer practice when I was four, I walked up to the field with my hands over my eyes. I was so embarrassed that other people were looking at me.
That's incredible. That's incredible. I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah. But yeah, I appreciate the introduction. I'm really excited. I always have fun, you know, talking to you guys. So I'm excited for this. And yeah, just to tag on to what you were saying, Jeffrey, I think the big thing is, you know, fear of rejection, but it's really a lot of people are like, okay, well, if I just send emails, I can hide behind the email.
Bingo.
Right. Yeah. I can hide behind the social post. And I really believe that people are fearful of rejection because they don't know what to say. And they hear a lot of, and you guys talk about lead with value. I think a lot of people don't really know what that is or what it looks like. And that's what I really want to show them today is what are some good and bad examples of what that actually looks like.
I love that. And diehards, and we have a lot of diehards, Jason. These are people who maybe have reached the next level in selling and they feel like they have some kind of a competitive edge to be able to go out and make sales and make a few bucks. But I will tell you that every single person on the planet wants some kind of an edge in prospecting to build their pipeline.
So, very good. Jason, you prospected us.
Yeah. No. He prospected us and won.
Yeah. So I think that you should tell this story. Like, how did you choose us? What were you prospecting us for? Like, obviously you're here now, so we love you, but we didn't always know you. Like a couple of months ago, who's Jason Bay? I don't know. I've never even heard his name.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's a kid who put his hand over his face when he was going to soccer practice.
Well, the big thing is, we eat our own cooking, as they say, and I don't ever want to be a sales trainer or someone that helps people with prospecting and doesn't actually do prospecting. So it's what I personally do on a daily basis. So I applied the same principles we would use for our clients. And that is, hey, we want to spread the word about what we're doing at Blissful Prospecting. And a really effective way of doing that is by aligning yourself with people that have great social proof, right? Like you guys have a big platform and I want to get on that, but I have to come in and lead with value, right? You're not just going to say, hey, cool, let's come on and pitch your stuff. No, I actually have to show in a short, email and a video that I sent you, what value can I provide to your audience? So there's a lot of planning, just like with any prospecting where, hey, let's identify all the podcasts that I want to get on. And let me put myself in the shoes of a podcaster because I've run a podcast before. I know it's really hard work to find quality guests. And I know what's even harder is thinking of what you guys are going to talk about. So I wanted to remove as much of that work as possible. So I sent an email, included a video, and just said, hey, being honest, I've been following Jeffrey. I've been following you since 2007. When I first got hired for a sales job, The Little Red Book of Selling was the first book I saw on the bookshelf. And then Jennifer, I found out about you in the last year or two through this podcast. So I just, hey, let's be real. And hey, I'm a fan, but most importantly, here's what I've gotten from that. And I think that I can add a lot of value by talking about video prospecting. And this is a big pain point for a lot of people. And here's an idea of what I think we could talk about. Do you want to chat?
And
then
I
included pictures of our cute puppy too. In the
It was well done. It was.
Did you know I love dogs?
I actually didn't know that you love dogs. I heard you guys talk about dogs before, but I didn't know that you were such a puppy fanatic.
I have to tell, listen, I have to tell you that we get a lot of solicitation literally on a daily basis from people who claim they can help us if I would just give them some of our money. That's their that's their form of offering help. It is not a value-driven piece of help. It is a sales-driven piece of help. And for those of you diehards that are listening and you want to know what genuine value is, I can tell you this. Jason has a value basis for his business. And Blissful is, I don't know, it's probably, it's a name that reflects something that, that doesn't feel like there's hard work involved.
Right.
But it is work. However, it has positive outcome. It's like no frustration. It's like don't fear rejection. But it's get involved so that you can create the response that you've targeted. And he targeted us, literally. And it
so, so did we respond to you?
Yeah, you did. You said, okay. hey, this looks good. Let's chat.
But hold up, hold up, hold up.
What was your response?
Hold up, hold up. We do not respond to a lot of people,
no.
Or our team does, and they're like, thanks so much for reaching out. When we're interested, we'll let you know. That kind of, you know, a nice way of saying no,
yeah.
Somehow.
Right.
So what, I mean, you obviously know, or maybe you don't, what do you think made us want to chat more with you?
I mean, you guys could probably speak to that better than I can, but just prospecting in general, what I can comment on is it's more than flattery. It's more than just saying I'm a fan of your work. It's being very specific with exactly what you took from something or learned. And we're in a day and age where it's so easy to automate things. For $19 a month, you can have a Mailshake account and send out dozens of emails to thousands of people at the click of a button. So that's what you're dealing with. That's the noise that you're competing with. So I think that you guys responded because it probably seemed pretty genuine because it was. And I also made sure to tie in, hey, if I'm going to take the time to personalize this, I also need to make sure that I let you know how I think I could help too in a short, concise way and make it really easy for you to digest. That's my hunch.
It was just well done.
Can we share your email?
Sure. Yeah, I don't care. Yeah, you guys can share the email.
I don't have the ability to screen share from where my seat is. I don't know if you're able to share it.
But I can tell you this, we're getting an awful lot of likes, loves, laughs, and pops.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I love that.
I just want people to really see behind the scenes, if you're willing, like what makes someone tick. Because I'll tell you this, like as an author, I do get emails that are like, oh, I love your book and I'd love to interview you. And I'm like, you can see right through when it's a mass email that's sent to like tons of people. They love everyone's book.
Or they claim they have a San Francisco phone number, but they're really from India.
Right. Or they're right from Jersey, but they call you from your own area code.
Yeah.
But you can see right through when it is surface level. And when people, oh man, when people say that to everybody, you can tell it's not genuine. But your thing had a video in it.
Yeah, it had a ring, Jason.
It was personalized, and I could tell you were speaking to us. And for me, that was the big differentiator. You weren't sending, maybe you were sending this out to hundreds of people, but I could feel a connection with you without knowing you that I wanted to chat with you more.
I'll tell you one other thing. We called each other together to watch this. Like, hey, you got to see
this.
And, that's cool.
And that's way cool because we don't do that. We just don't do that. And I think that's the power of what Jason is offering is something that is, number one, different. Number two, better. Number three, value driven. And I'm not going to say it's rejection proof, but it is connection enhancing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think that's the real value here.
Yeah. So you
plus look at him. He's a nice kid. You know, I mean, and I don't mean to say kid in the word of kid, but you're, you know, Are you 40? No.
I just turned 30, so yeah. It actually makes me feel young again when you call me a kid. You know, I like it.
The kid running into the playground.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll help you feel young. I have underwear older than you.
Jeffrey.
Yeah. So what I can do, guys, if you want, is I can share my screen. I have the email open here.
Cool.
And then I can get into some of the breakdowns and stuff like that,
you guys,
too.
Guys, if you want to see that, give a thumbs up right now in the comments and let us know you want to see what Jason sent
us.
All right?
Let's see some love for Jason.
Show us.
Yeah.
All right.
Now we're talking.
Here we go. So is this working? You guys can see my screen?
Yeah, we can see your screen.
So here's the first email. This is a screenshot of the email. I could play the video, but it doesn't really have, it won't be able to hear the audio.
Okay.
Through the Zoom call. But yeah, this is, so just so you know, I have reached out to a lot of podcasts, but I was very specific. There's about maybe 40, 50 sales podcasts out there that I had targeted that I wanted to get on. And a lot of the email is fairly similar, but the video is 100% unique, obviously, to everyone that I reach out to. So it's pretty short and concise. I mean, the email, I use a tool called Loom. You can use another tool called Vidyard. You know, you just throw a hyperlink in there.
Yeah,
and
we know Vidyard.
Hey. Check out the video, you know?
This, guys and women, this is something that actually works. And you can hear all the bullshit you want about how you have to make 100 cold calls a day. No, this is Jason created a target. We were the target. Jason created a video, and the video was compelling. And as a result of that, we called his ass.
But check this thing out, okay, guys? Like, even though you can't see the video right now, you see the architecture of this email, and you see our website, our SalaryDiePodcast.com website. Like, why wouldn't I click that?
Right.
Why wouldn't I want to know what he is about to say to me? Hi, Jen, watch video? Hell yeah! He's writing to me! Like, I don't know. I think people are doing it backwards sometimes because they're going after quantity, but they're not necessarily going after quality.
Right.
And because you found us and did something personalized and went to this extent, now we can have a lifelong friendship, a lifelong like partnership with what we're doing in business. Like, how freaking cool is that?
And just so you understand, diehards, there's no money involved in this deal. We're doing this because Jason deserves it. We don't make a damn dime. We're not asking for any kind of a link that's an affiliate thing or something
like
that.
Well, that is correct. However,
he's going to be paying us $1 million soon.
However, as soon as I make it.
Some people have asked in our 2020 sales vision group, because now we use video like this for everything. And Mary just posted in here, Hippo Video. Like, Hippo Video sponsored your virtual seminar series. Yeah. And we've been now, because of Jason, making all these videos and embedding them right into our emails. And we do have an affiliate link for that, but it's something that we use. So, like, we would never recommend anything to you that we don't use ourselves.
Yeah. So,
all right. So you have this. Okay. So walk us through this. This is so cool.
So let me, how about we get into some of the slides and I'll walk you through the reply method, which is basically the structure of doing this. So I want to throw out a few disclaimers just because, so what I did is I made sure to take out, I have the person's first name, but the point of doing these breakdowns and getting into this is not to embarrass the salesperson or their company. So the point of us going through this is to help you. We're going to be brutally honest. So if we think something sucks, we're just going to say that it sucks, but we'll tell you why. And most importantly, we're going to give you actionable takeaways. And we got a lot of responses. So I put up a post on LinkedIn. You guys shared some posts. We got a bunch and we're not going to be able to get to all of them, but I'll personally email you back with a quick video breakdown.
Cool.
For taking the time to submit that. So we might only be able to get to 6, 7, 8 of them, depending on how many we do. So just wanted to throw that out there.
Go.
So, okay, so let's dig into the reply method. So we came up with the reply method because we noticed that when we write these emails for clients, because that's the majority of what we're doing right now is writing the messaging and coming up with it for salespeople, for sales teams. We needed something that was repeatable because, you know, when I first started doing this, it took me like 8 hours to write an email sequence. And I had all this information everywhere and it just took a long time. And we wanted something as soon as we found out what worked and what that framework was, we wanted to get that into something that was easy to use in the future. So the reply method is not about a copy and paste email template. That's not what we're going to talk about today. If you're looking for a copy and paste email template, prospecting this way is not going to work for you. So it's about the framework, not the template. So cool. What I'm going to go through is we're going to break down individual emails here using this. And the first thing, so the reply, that R, what it stands for is results. So one of the big things I see missing from cold emails, from cold calls, voicemails, whatever it is people are not really sharing results that the prospect will relate to. I mean, what's the first thing, just Jennifer and Jeffrey, when you get an email from someone you don't know, what's like the very first thing that goes through your head?
I look at what the template of it is, and if it's got three bullet points, I pretty much delete it.
Yeah, so if it's templated, you're deleting it.
Right.
What else?
But I'm looking for, does it catch my attention? Is it about me or about them?
Exactly. So the whole point of this first part is that know that what's going through the prospect's mind is, what's in it for me? Is this about me? And all you're trying to do with that first outreach is get them to say, this is interesting. So you can do that by leveraging results in social proof you've created for other brands. So for example, when I reached out to you guys for the podcast, I mentioned other podcasts that I've been on. So you could check it out and see that, hey, if I want to do a little bit of research on Jason, I know where to do that. Mm-hmm. If you're sharing case studies and results, make it relevant. If you work with SMBs and mid-sized companies, they probably don't really care if you did a project with Google, right? It's probably not relatable to them unless they're in tech. So share stuff that's relevant. The second part to this, the E, stands for empathy. This is the thing I see missing from 99% outreach. I'm going to call it out a lot today, is you have to lead with something that's going to show you understand a little bit about what it's like to walk in the prospect's shoes. So the natural inclination we have when someone reaches out to someone and then I don't know them is, you know, are you one of us, right? Do you know me? Do you walk in my shoes? Do you know who I am? So empathy, you can do that by leading with a challenge. So I know you and I, Jeffrey, talked about this off air, but I want to clarify that challenge is not challenging their challenger sales style, which I have mixed opinions on that. But it's not leading with a, hey, I think I can do your job better. That's not the challenge
right here.
The challenge is, hey, I'm going to reach out to you guys. You have a podcast. I know that one of the big challenges is finding great guests and thinking of things to talk to them about. So if I can remove some of that work for you and just acknowledge that, I'm walking in your shoes, right? A lot of that can be accomplished by saying, hey, you know, a lot of people in your position have told me that some of their challenges are this, and you can get really specific. That's a great way to lead your prospecting messaging. So the P.
Yeah, go ahead.
Stands for personalization. So far we've talked about, hey, you got to share relevant results. You got to lead with a challenge. The P is for personalization. So if you're going to send an email or make a cold call and you have nothing personal to say outside of, I think your company's cool, or I saw that you're a CFO at this company.
Right. I went to that Buy Gittimer website. I don't kid me. You know what I mean?
Hey, you guys, for those of you just joining us, we have Jason Bay here. He's a prospecting expert, and he's talking to us about breaking down cold emails. So how to write effective cold emails that actually get through. And ironically, that's how he got to us.
So I would change number one to relevant results rather than just results, even though you want to do a one word.
You knew that this was coming, right?
No, the word relevant is key here.
Yeah,
that's fair.
It's definitely relevant. So it has to be relevant. It has to relate with them. You can't be like, oh, yeah, one thing that I'm going to call out today that I see a lot is we helped such and such company increase their revenue by 23%. It's like, okay. Yeah. Like, that's not specific enough. Like, make it a specific result that someone in that role actually cares about. And I'll show you examples of what that is here in a second.
So, but, Jason, will you show examples of empathy on email too? Because I think a lot of people struggle with that. And that was some of the questioning I got was like, how do I, like, most people don't even realize they need to show it on email, but the people who do, they're like, how do I show that?
People from the Northeast think that the empathy is somewhere just north of give a shit. So you have to be real careful about where they're from.
Speaking from a Northeast. Yeah, right. Keep going. So we're on P now.
So I'm definitely going to share examples of all this stuff for sure. Great.
Awesome.
Great point there, Jen. So personalization, make it something that you actually have to dig for. And ideally that's connected to how you can help them. And again, I'm going to show you examples of this in a second.
Okay.
The L is for laser focus. And we live in a world right now where people you know, it's 280 characters, I guess, on Twitter now, but it's a 280 character world, right? So people have very short attention spans and they don't want to read a novel. So your emails ideally are 3 to 5 sentences long or less than 120 words. Your voicemails are less than 30 seconds. Your pitch in a cold call is 10 to 15 seconds tops. Like, you got to get stuff out really quick and concise. And then lastly, why is for you? So I always say no one wants to be Alfred. Everyone wants to be Batman. A lot of us are prospecting and making our solution the hero instead of making the prospect the hero. Ooh. So make the prospect the hero. Make it about them. Use the word I as few times as possible. A good little trick here is you should be using the words you and your more times than you are using the word I. And you should never start out an email with I, if possible. So make it about the prospect.
Got it.
Cool. All good. Right. Show us how.
All right. So one quick thing too is if you guys want a PDF download of the reply method, you can grab it here. Blissfulprospecting.com.
I love that.
/sell or die. And you can just download a one pager. Okay. So let's get into the good stuff. So all right. I'm not quite sure how you pronounce Howman, I think is how you pronounce his name. So what I had people do when they submitted, I said, hey, you need to tell me who your prospects are, their pain points, and then your product or service. So there's a lot that is revealing actually about how they talk about this stuff too. So, and I'm going to read this out loud because it sounds like this is going to get turned into an audio, something for the podcast too. So Howman's prospects are IT resellers, IT service providers and CEOs and managing directors. And he wants to target companies that have at least 20 seats to 100 seats in their IT department. His prospects' big pain points are protecting end users' data, data protection and backup. And then the cloud, the service he provides is cloud backup. Okay. So here's his email. And I put the reply method up there at the top, so I'll kind of show you how I break this down. So his email is, hey, CEO's name, I called you and left a voicemail. Keen to understand more about your business and see if there's a common ground on starting a partnership and adding another source of revenue to your company. Cheers, Howman. So the thing I like about this email is that it's brief, but there's a lot of missing components to this. So you're emailing a CEO, right? And you're emailing a company that has 20 to 100 people just in their IT department. So the CEO, my guess, is really busy and he's probably not going to personally be checking these emails. He might have an assistant checking it. And he also might forward this to the right person to talk to. Howman is not really giving the CEO a reason, a compelling reason to actually respond to him. So if we're looking at the reply method, he's missing results there. So he provides cloud backup services. So when you say that your prospect's big pain points are security, how do you measure that? And what's important? And I have a feeling that the chief technology officer is probably the better person to reach out to, but there isn't really any social proof in here of other companies you've worked with, other people that you've helped. You aren't sharing any empathy either. There are no challenges in this email that you're acknowledging that they might be experiencing or that a CEO might be experiencing.
Is this really a real email?
Yes. I see emails like this all the time.
Is their name Howman?
Yep. So what I like about this email though, is that it's short. That's basically the only thing like about it.
Now you're trying to be nice. Okay.
I can shorten it. I can go, dude. Well,
this email pisses me off because I'm sorry, if you're emailing me, Mrs. CEO, right? And I'm the CEO and you're emailing me and you're like, I want to see if there's common ground. You should effing know if there's common ground.
Right.
Like, why are you asking me if there's common ground? I don't know. I don't need to find out if you don't know. I mean, like.
Yeah. I don't know what your response to this is going to be, but as a CEO, the first line was take a moment and tell me about the value of your data. That would be the greatest. You know, how much is your data worth if it's lost?
Mm. Yeah. But I think that is deep enough empathy?
I think you could go a layer deeper. So my advice for Howman is really think about if the CEO is the right person to reach out to, because I don't think they are. I think it's probably a chief technology officer, but really think about what challenges are chief technology officers having around security. And the way you could start out an email is, hey, personalize it first off. So some sort of personalization. I was reaching out because what I hear a lot of chief technologists telling me these days is one of their big concerns is security for this reason. Here's why they're concerned with it. Not sure if this is a challenge you're having. So you're kind of disarming the prospect by not assuming that they're having a challenge. You're not sure if it's a challenge you're having, but we've worked with similar companies like yours, like this company, and this company. And here's the result that we achieved for them. Is this something that you might be interested in chatting about?
FOMO.
That's how I would structure the email.
FOMO. You worked with other people just like me. Ah, what am I missing?
Yep.
Well, I think, listen, everybody is concerned about their data, and very few people actually know what the hell to do about it.
Yep.
And for this particular guy to go this light on challenge or this light on value, it's a wasted email. It's going to get deleted.
Oh, yeah. All right. What's next? This is fun.
All right. So this one's a little bit better. So Andrew, he works at a company that does digital and traditional advertising. So it's essentially a marketing agency, but their big niche they serve is real estate brokerages. So their target client is a real estate brokerage of some sort. Didn't really give an employee count, but the big pain point, it sounds like, and I've done a little bit of work in real estate, is that Zillow, their primary lead platform that a lot of real estate agents rely on, isn't working well, and they're struggling to generate quality leads. So here's Andrew's email. So I am going to read this real quick. So he said, hey,
it's long.
I've really enjoyed working with X company. So he did some personalization at the beginning in the past and have been referring everyone to your real estate company. The approach you've taken in customer service should place you amongst the top realtors in the state. And then he goes into the next part. Many of the realtors we work with have told us, so he actually does a pretty good job here of empathy. Many of the realtors here we work with have told us the struggles of lead generation and the decreased effectiveness of Zillow leads. What I like about him pointing out Zillow is that he's showing that he knows a little bit about the industry and he's relating to what their specific challenges are, not just saying, hey, they struggle with lead gen. Well, everyone wants more leads, right? And then he says, also, they have said that they have a hard time getting their company to show up organically in Google searches for realtors. I actually like those two sentences. I would keep those two sentences in there. And then the last part is where I think he could, overall, he needs to shorten up this email, but he says, are you looking for ways to increase your visibility on the web, as well as increase the awareness of the quality service that your company provides? We may be able to help with a mixture of digital radio event advertising. Does your company do anything currently to promote their brand? I'd love to connect if you're interested in learning more about us. So first off, I feel like he does a pretty good job on the empathy piece. What's missing here is there's opportunity for social proof. So there are in reply for results. He could share a few companies that he's worked with. And I looked at their site. They have some good case studies, actually. So instead of that last paragraph, the big long-winded one, just say, hey, we've worked with similar real estate companies, it looks like. Here's a case study on how we help them do this. Is this something that's on your radar right now? Is this something you'd be interested in chatting about? He has too many call to actions. So that laser focus part, he has multiple questions in the email. And the goal here is not to confuse the prospect. Just ask one thing, one question. Are you interested in chatting? Is this something that's top of mind for you now? Is this a challenge that you're really with? Whatever version of that you want to go with, keep it laser focused. And then Andrew, my other big thing is you got to get this down to around 120 to 140 words at least. I think when I checked, it was around 180. So you just got to shorten this up.
Yeah, I was going to ask about the length because just like if I got this email, I wouldn't read it. There's too many words. Yep. And he could say in this entire email could be about how great I am. But like it's too many words.
Jen, if it was about how great you are, you could read 280 words.
No, from a stranger, no, not really. Like, I probably would not read this email.
Let me give you a hint here, diehards. When I do a radio commercial, a 30-second radio commercial is 90 words. A 1 minute, obviously, is about 180. You can actually go a little bit faster. But if you stick to 90 to 120 words, then the person's going to look at this and go, this is readable.
Yes.
Yep.
And if it's readable, then it might be actionable. If it's not readable, forget the action.
Jason, we had this debate on a previous Sell or Die episode. What do you think of, oh gosh, do you say GIF or GIF?
Oh, GIF or GIF.
What do you think of the GIFs, of the picture things with the like?
I like them, but you... We've used an experiment with a lot of GIFs. So if you're trying to be funny, you have to be funny. That's the big thing. So if you're using it to be funny and it's not funny, you're totally going to miss the mark. So if you're not a joke writer and you're not a funny person, I wouldn't use it for the purpose of being funny. Second, like anything else in the email, it has to relate in some way back to the product or service that you offer. So for example, this guy, Jeremy from LeadIQ, he was sharing, he commented on a post and he was like, hey, here's how I send emails. And he uses a GIF that's like, it said, it was something about how the outreach sales engagement platform can connect seamlessly to LeadIQ. And he had some sort of GIF with an animal that was like connecting, as like a squirrel connecting to a nut or something. I can't remember what it was, but it was like pretty clever. Like, that's funny. You can do that. But if it's just for the purpose of being funny and it doesn't connect, or you're just not funny, I don't suggest using it.
Okay, yeah. So if you're wondering if you're not funny, you're probably not.
You're
funny.
Not funny. Yeah. So when you talk and you try to get people to laugh and they don't laugh, that means you could use some work in the humor department.
Exactly.
And so what you want? A, don't force it, and B, yeah. I'm sort of anti-GIF. I just don't. Maybe I'm too old or something. But
it's a generational thing too. I think, you know, it's like, I think really young people like are receptive, more receptive to it.
I love
but
them.
But that doesn't mean that it's good to use. It has to be good.
Yeah, it has to be on brand.
Our 10-year-old daughter loves them, but she has to ask us for money. So I wouldn't use her as a...
I love them. I mean, like when I get them, if they make me laugh, I want to read what's around them personally.
Oh, okay.
So all right, Andrew, pretty good email, Andrew. Shorten it down. That's the most important thing. And you got some good stuff on your website. Share some of those case studies.
So we have a bunch of people who just joined us on this stream here on Facebook. So for those of you who did just join us, this is Sell or Die, and we are talking to Jason Bay from Blissful Prospecting. He's breaking down cold emails. He's showing us shitty ones, although he's trying to be nice about it, in order to show us what's missing and how to make them better. So you can really learn a lot from this and improve your emails. I highly recommend you stay on.
And why the hell is Jason on this episode of Sell or Die? Because he cold emailed us and it worked.
Yes.
And we actually like him. This is not, you know what I mean? And he did the right thing. He said the right words and we connected.
Yeah. So April, Mark, Dan, hey guys, Damn. What's going on? Adam says, is there any chance of a virus being placed in a video attachment, which would cause prospects to not open it since you aren't a trusted source yet?
Well, that's actually a good question. So if you use a tool like Vidyard, Loom,
HIPAA Video,
HIPAA Video, you can embed essentially a thumbnail of the video automatically in there and it hyperlinks. So it's actually not an attachment. You do not want to use attachments in your emails when you're cold prospecting because it's super suspect, right? I'm not going to open an attachment from someone that I've never met before. Exactly. So link to things.
And actually, we've used HIPAA Video, and the video that you can use there will actually show movement in the video. You have a choice of still or moving when you send the video out, and the moving one gets opened more.
Yeah, it's sort of like a GIF, right, in that regard. I have a really good email. I don't know if it's coming up after this one or the one after, but so here's a cold email I received. And this is a company that does online advertising and website design. So they're essentially an agency that specializes in primarily building websites for people and then setting up Facebook ads. So they're targeting companies from what it looks like that are already advertising on Facebook and Google AdWords. So that's a trick that you can use. You can use a platform like Apollo.io. You can find out a little bit on LinkedIn Sales Navigator. Another one is Built With, and you can see what kind of tools people have on their website. So if you're selling Facebook ads, for example, it's usually easier to sell to people already advertising on Facebook, and you can pick that out. So pain points they help with, I'm not really sure because this person didn't submit this email. So, okay. With this email, one thing that I do not like about it right away, I don't mind the subject line. I think quick question for Blissful Prospecting. The quick question subject line is getting a little bit overused, but it actually works. You probably get a 40-50% open rate. What I don't like about this is the personalization. You know, it says, I just saw that you're the co-founder and chief revenue officer for Blissful Prospecting. And I'm wondering, are you happy with the return on ad spend for your Facebook campaigns? There's not really any personalization outside of what they just use through a merge tag. So it doesn't really take anything.
It's forced personalization.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's forced. It's fake. So don't pretend to personalize something. I'd rather you just not personalize it than to pretend to do it.
Right. And why doesn't he just say, hey, Jason?
Yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
You know, that it's much more familiar. It's much more personal and it's relaxed.
Yep.
It's blissful. Pardon my pun.
So the other thing that he that I don't like about that first part is he's assuming that I'm actually advertising on Facebook, which we have never advertised on Facebook before. You can actually look at a company's Facebook page and they publicly display their Facebook ads now. There's a little section. So you can tell if someone's advertising or not. So I could already tell he didn't do his research and came in way too assumptive. So the next thing he gets into is his value prop. He says, we help companies get a better ROI with ad campaigns that convert so they can scale. Most recently, our strategies for a B2B company returned a 12,280% ROI, and then a B2C company saw a 3,464% ROI. I'm the chief marketing officer for our agency. Due to our resources and experience, we've been able to continue to meet and exceed target KPIs for clients. I would delete that entire sentence. It's not necessary. And he says, would you like to have a quick chat about your ad campaigns? Just reply and let me know. So there's a couple things he does all right in this. I think you can take out that we help companies get a better ROI with ad campaigns that convert so they can scale. That's not important. He does share results, but what I don't like about it is it's really unrealistic. So just because you have achieved that ROI doesn't mean you should share it with everyone else, because I doubt you could get us a 12,280% ROI on our spend.
Yeah, just tell me you can double. I'm happy at
that's
double.
That's okay. If he believes he can, double. Why doesn't he put his own money down?
Yeah. So the big thing here, and this happens a lot actually to companies, is don't share the outliers of your case studies. Share the ones that are realistic, because psychologically I'm looking at that. I'm like, that's impossible. There's no way that you could do that for me. You're going to turn me off. It's no different than an infomercial. You see, you lose 80 pounds in a month. You're like, okay. I'll settle for 10.
I'll settle for 10.
So
in a month, I'll settle for 5.
So the R part of results, or reply with results, he does share things in there. But what I don't like, again, is that we're not a B2C company. So why are you sharing the B2C ROI? That's not relevant to me. The other thing, too, is instead of saying B2B company, what if you said sales training company? Or prospecting agency, or marketing agency is even close enough.
Something that's
connected
closer,
a little bit.
Something that you feel
a connection to.
Exactly. Agreed. So what you can do when you're segmenting your outreach, because you don't want to have to write every email completely from scratch. You want to have a template that you personalize. What I suggest is segmenting by persona or ideal client profile. So if you have different segments you're reaching out to, let's say one of them is agencies, one of them is construction companies, one of them is, SaaS companies. You could segment the outreach and then personalize those segments in the template so that all you have to do is personalize the first two sentences every time. And then you have something that's fairly personalized for that ideal client profile or that industry or that specific job title or persona. Again, the big thing missing here is empathy. If he would have said something like, hey, you know, I was reaching out. I wasn't sure if this is a challenge you're having right now, but I talked to a lot of agencies and one of the big challenges they share with me is, you know, how sometimes their lead gen can feel like a roller coaster. You know, one week it's really good and they're getting a lot of appointments, and other weeks they want to supplement what they're doing with other inbound marketing sources. Like something like that would be like, okay, cool. Like supplementing what we're doing right now, that sticks out. Like that's kind of a challenge that we're having. Like I get that, but it doesn't really talk about any of those challenges.
So how do you get deep enough to be able to show that empathy?
So the number one way is by doing client interviews. So what we do for our clients, it's a requirement now, is you have to let us interview 3 of your clients to get started. So the way that that works and the reason why that's important is a lot of times the way that we talk about how we help our clients is in a different language than our clients talk about how they help. So you're going to get something that's more written in their language, and you also want to focus on what was life like before you started working with me? What challenges were you having? What was going on? What made you decide to reach out to us? Or what made you decide to respond to our email? And you're going to find all kinds of stuff in there. To give you a really practical example, you know, one of our big client profiles is nonprofits that do corporate development. So they reach out to other big companies that they want to partner with. Now, when I started doing this, I thought that they would use words like revenue. Well, turns out they don't. They say stuff like fundraising. And they don't call it prospecting. They call it corporate development. Mm-hmm. And their big challenges are around not having enough time to do the prospecting themselves. I didn't know that would be a challenge, right? They say, you know, we're really busy right now because the current partnerships we're working on are taking up so much of our time. That's what I put in the email.
Wow.
There are a lot of people that hide the word sales. Accounting people, lawyer people, they call it practice development. And as a result of that, because they don't want to use the word sales, it's like a dirty word for them.
Yeah.
And so anytime that they're recruiting somebody, they have to use language that nobody else uses. But you kind of know what it is.
Yeah, but the minute you don't use their language is the minute they can tell immediately that you're an outsider,
right.
That you're trying to sell them something, that you're not, you don't really get them.
Yep. What the number one rule, our sort of mantra around prospecting is don't prospect to make a sale, prospect to start a conversation. You're not going to sell someone one cold email. You're not going to sell them over the phone in a cold call. You're not going to do one call close if you're selling anything with a significant deal size.
Can you repeat that's not the again? Point. Can you repeat that again?
Yeah. Don't prospect to make a sale, prospect to start a conversation. That's all you're trying to do is reach out to a qualified prospect and get them interested enough. It only takes a tiny bit of trust and interest enough to hop on a call.
Yeah.
So this next email is really good. So I actually know Ben. I've already broken down this email before, but I wanted to show you an example of a really good email. And it's actually not perfect, but what Ben has in this email is a 60%+ open rate, which if you're anywhere between 30 and 50% on cold emails, you're doing fantastic.
Yeah.
And he has as high as a 30% response rate to these emails too.
Wow.
So you're going to see a really good example of an email that doesn't look perfect, but that's actually a good thing. So Ben's prospects are department managers, medium and large engineering firms. They usually have 5 to 15 direct reports working in the field. And these people don't usually write the check, but they're strongly influencing budget for their department. So these are the champions. We call these in B2B sales. And what Ben, so I can already tell how detailed Ben is here, that he knows a lot about his prospects, right? He said their biggest pain points are using outdated hardware and tech. They're wasting employee time on training and certification for archaic equipment. And they're falling behind schedule due to limited equipment. And what he sells is a tool that helps companies test floor flatness. And it's a hardware plus software combo that will allow them to quickly test the floor flatness, which is really important, apparently, for engineering firms and test labs. So let's look at Ben's email. All right. So what Ben does a really good job of saying is, it's, hey, first name, many of the materials testing labs I talk to struggle to streamline their concrete floor flatness testing service because of outdated equipment, a lack of technician training, or inefficiencies in testing and reporting. Wow, that's some empathy if I've ever seen it before.
Yeah, and it's right to the point.
Yeah.
He is talking about and I call these sticky situations. And the challenge is, if you can get to the level of, hey, this is not just a generic challenge this business deals with. This is not just a challenge that person deals with. These are specific situations that come up throughout this person's work week or their day or their month that intersect with Ben's product or service that he's selling. So it's very, very sticky. Then he says, sometimes labs have never even considered how much unnecessary time and money they are spending on floor flatness tests. Are you looking for ways to save technician hours and headache on floor flatness tests? We may be able to help with the, and it's a product they sell, our app-based walking profiler. Does MTA engineers do much FFL testing, which is an industry term for how they measure floor flatness, which they would understand. Testing in the Little Rock market. I'd love to connect to see if you're interested in learning more about us. So what he does really good job there is he gets the empathy is just laser focused. And he didn't include the personalization here, but he said he personalizes the first sentence of the email. With the results, you can see that you don't always have to share like a percentage increase. It's just, hey, if you have these challenges, we might be able to help you overcome them and make your life easier. That's it. That's a result, right? You have a challenge. I can help you with that challenge. It doesn't have to be this percentage increase in income or revenue or whatever. The other thing is it's pretty laser focused too. The email is, and this is a lot easier to read in an email client. I believe when I checked, it's around 130, 140 words. He could shorten it up a little bit, but what I like about it is it doesn't look like an email template to me. It's not overly polished. And I'm actually guilty of this. One of the biggest things I struggle with is being too polished in the emails where it looks like a marketing email.
Mm-hmm.
And the big thing he does, that why, the you part, this email is all about the prospect.
Yeah,
he doesn't even talk about himself at all.
I love the opening paragraph.
Yeah, we might be able to help with this. Yeah. And I like what he says, we may be able to help. You don't know enough about a prospect to tell them that you can absolutely help them. You just don't.
Yeah.
There's not enough research that you could do. So not being assumptive, you know, because I get emails from companies that want to help us with sales or prospecting. And I'm not even offended that they reached out to me, but what's most what I get most offended by is they're assuming that I have a problem and they're saying that they can help me fix it. That's like, you would never do that. You would never walk up to someone in the street and say, hey, you know, you look like you lose some weight, you know, like, yeah. Are you looking for a personal trainer right now? Cause I could really help you out. Like, dude, people, they tell you to F off, right? So don't be so assumptive when you're going in. This is the best example that I'm going to show today of what a good email looks like right here. You can see it's not about the template.
Yeah.
Not about the template at all. He led with empathy. He told them how he could fix their problem. It's personalized. It's pretty laser focused for the most part. And it's all about the prospect.
I love the reply method because it really does get people to reply. And it makes you feel human. Like if I were sending that email, I would feel comfortable. I don't know about you, but because I feel like I'm coming from a place of not this like salesy, let's figure out if we have common ground, but more like a place of service.
Oh, that's the worst value prop. Let's see if we have common ground. You should already be telling the person what you see.
Exactly. He's just saying it here.
Let me throw this at you. There's no risk in responding to Jason type email.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel like there's jeopardy. I'll hit the reply button or I'll hit the, I'll be happy to click something that will allow me to get proof or respond.
Yeah. And that thing you said, Jason, earlier about it not being about making a sale on email, but it's about opening up the conversation. Mm-hmm. That's huge because so many people are trained right now that they need a one call email. Close email. And like that just is not reality. Like who buys off of one email from a stranger? I don't know.
And if you're selling anything of significant size, and when I say significant size, anything that costs over $10,000, no business is just going to close in a 20, 30 minute phone call. The very first time you talk to them, if they've never heard of you, that just doesn't happen unless you're Jeffrey Gittimer. so let's go. I think we have time for one more email. It looks like.
Okay.
So let's go through this one. This is another email that I received. And again, if I didn't get to your email, I'll personally email you back with a short video breaking down your email.
Wow.
People submitted these for this live. That's really cool.
Yeah, I pulled a couple that I received, but yeah, we had a dozen and a half, a couple dozen almost, I think, people submit through the form that we shared on LinkedIn, which is super cool. And I appreciate people.
Awesome.
I think it requires an amount of vulnerability to share what you're sending, especially if it's not working as well as you'd like.
Sorry, we put you down.
Especially
sending them.
Especially if you're a douchebag and you're.
No, but you know what the problem is? I think everyone who submitted an email, in all honesty, has really good intention with their customers, and they don't even realize that the email they're putting out there doesn't reflect them in the best light possible because this is the template they got from their boss or the person who was there before them
or the marketing department.
Yeah. Jinx. Yeah. But this is what they're being told, so to speak, to do that every company needs your method, Jason.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
And to piggyback on what you said, Jen, it's like, I don't blame the sales rep. I mean, of course, you're accountable for your own results and all that good stuff. But yeah, they're given these templates. A lot of them don't even have very much control over what they can say. That's how restricted it is, which is crazy to me. Okay, so last email here before we run out of time. This is a cold email I received. And essentially, this company, their ideal prospect is any business-to-business company that does outbound. And they're helping solve pain points around finding quality B2B data, which if you do prospecting, you know that finding quality data is just accurate email addresses and phone numbers. It's very hard to find. And then they're also helping with tracking multi-channel prospecting campaigns. So a big pain point you have when you're doing multi-channel is how do you get your email and your phone and your social to work together? And right now that's kind of hard to do all in one place. And their product is a B2B contact database. Okay, the reason why I picked this email is that they do something very misleading here that I am not a fan of. And this is a way to disqualify yourself really, really quickly with people that really know what they're doing. So they sent a fake email saying that they're doing quality control. And they said, hey, Jason, I'm doing quality control here at my company. And notice you responded to our emails, but unfortunately no one got back to you. We've worked with a number of companies similar to you in the past and made a number of sales automation and account-based marketing platform updates I think you'd make a great fit for. I'd love to set a call time with you this week or early next week and dive in on those features. Do you have time today or tomorrow for a quick call? Thanks. So I did not sign up for anything. So if you're using a misleading tactic, like putting an RE in front of your first email and making it look like that's so misleading, people, quality prospects are not going to respond to that. People that are smart and understand what's going on and how easy that is to manipulate are not going to want to talk to you. And unfortunately, the decision makers are smart people. So they can smell that from a mile away. And the other thing here too is you don't have to lie about how I signed up. Like, I didn't sign up. Like, this is not going to make me want to like talk to you.
Exactly.
Because you're saying I did something and I didn't actually do it.
I often get a thing like, I tried to reach you. Like, fucker, I'm available. You just Google Jeffrey Gitterer, phone number pops up, Charlotte, North Carolina pops up, anything you need pops up. That's a lie.
I'm trying to find this email right now that I received. Literally, I received it earlier today, and it said something like, you missed our meeting. I was like, what? I missed a meeting? And then I kept reading, and it was like, here's where you select a new time. And I was like, wait a minute. I've never had a meeting with this person. Like, I didn't miss a meeting. Why do you make me freak out? I hate this person. And I just deleted their email.
Yeah, but it's crazy. Like, this doesn't work, you guys. You can't use manipulative tactics. That's really the big feedback I have for this is, and so many people do this where they use marketing automation tools. So another trick that I see people trying to pull is, hey, my CEO and I were talking about you, and they put a fake email chain at the bottom and say, my CEO and I were talking about you. He said that I should reach out. And it's like companies that are kind of reputable too. They're pretty big. So you're like, oh, the CEO of this huge company was talking, and it's fake.
Wait, do you remember that phone call I got?
Yeah.
I got a cold phone call a couple of weeks ago, and it was like this massive person out there in our industry was thinking of me and wanted to connect. And I got a text first, when would be a good time to connect? And I was like, whoa, Jeffrey, they want to connect with me. So I'm like, how about right now? And so they call me right now. And it was like 6 o'clock on a Friday, but they were on the West Coast. And then within 1 millisecond, I realized it was fake and a sales pitch. The person had never even known my name. And it was so absurd. Like, why do people do this?
Well, I think that they have a lot of pressure to hit their quotas. And unfortunately, like I said, this is probably an upper management thing. Upper management is probably just saying, hey, we need to try the growth hack tactic of the week. And it happens to be something like this, making people think that they've interacted with us when they really haven't.
So wow. Okay, yeah, so obviously it's your method is the only way to go, and it's our endorsed, approved method. You've been working with Mary on our sales team and really helping her.
She loves you, by the way.
Yeah, totally. you have changed her sales game in a very significant and amazing way.
And just by changing some words. I mean, just think about that from a standpoint of you're out there, it's Sunday night, you're laboring over a subject line, or should I say this or that? If you don't know what to say, you're probably going to say the wrong thing.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you gave her a roadmap of exactly how to find qualified prospects, where to find them, and what to say to them, which is like so critical for every single salesperson out there. So we are grateful for all the help that you've given to us and our team. And like, this method is killer. And if you're not using the reply method, if you just found out about it, make sure you download that PDF that Jason's given away for free, the blissfulprospecting.com/sellerdie, because that explains the reply method in detail. I love that you put a video on there. I just clicked the link. That's awesome. Way to go.
Yeah. Very innovative. And let me tell you something. Jason is emerging because there's a better way. And when the better way works, it becomes talked about and proofed on social. And this is where you have to be today. You can't be bullshitting anymore because bullshit doesn't work. And old methods of manipulation and persuasion don't work. And putting RE in your email doesn't work.
No.
And putting I tried to reach you doesn't work. So the best thing to do, and this is what Jason has done, he's honest. Mm-hmm. You may not like it, but he's honest. And I think that's the new way. The new way is just be yourself, which is the old way.
The new way is the old way is the new way.
Yeah.
So, Jason, where should people go? Should they just download that that PDF? What if they want to contact you? What should they do?
I would say the PDF's the best place to start, and then go to blissfulprospecting.com. We have a ton of content on there. So we've created guides on the reply method. We've created guides on how to send videos. You could check out all of the other podcasts that we've been on. And I would say for free, that's just the best way to be like, hey, I either vibe with this or I don't. And if you need help getting some of this started, because it can be kind of overwhelming. Yeah, we do one-on-one training. We do group trainings. We do consulting, that sort of thing. Just send us an email and we'll point you in the right direction.
Cool.
And Jason, just from a standpoint of our company, well, I want to issue you a public thank you for cold emailing us and having it work.
Hell yeah. Thank you.
Absolutely. I appreciate the opportunity. This is a lot of fun.
This was a lot of fun. You're going to have to come back on and do a follow-up with some of these people once they've changed their emails.
Oh, yeah.
Including, I would love to see the transformation for sure.
Including us.
Awesome.
All right. Thank you
so
much.
We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Cool. Yep. Thanks,
Bye.
Guys. We'll talk to you later.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit SellorDieNetwork.com.